Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Stoma for Life. I'm truly delighted that you've tuned in. Now, today's episode is something that's extremely dear to me. It's all about travel. Travel was the last thing on my mind when I returned home after bowel surgery. And I'm sure you can relate that in the beginning, you don't really feel like leaving the comfort of your home because there are definitely challenges and worries when you're a first-time ostomate. And I lived through all of those. My stoma nurse asked me about 4 weeks in why I hadn't left the house yet, and I truly couldn't answer her. I didn't have a valid reason because I was feeling okay. My fitness wasn't there yet, but I could have perhaps just walked around the block. But I was in my comfort zone, and I suppose comfort zone is okay for a time. But after she did mention it, I started going within and thought, well, maybe it is time to travel again. And I'd had bowel surgery during the pandemic. It was actually the end of the pandemic, but restrictions were still very much in place. And I had not seen my parents that live in South Africa for well over 2 years. And obviously they had to not see their daughter all through being diagnosed and surgery. And that was very worrisome for them. So once I got my confidence up and started those daily walks around the block and felt absolutely, in my stride, being able to handle everything that travel would entail, I actually embarked on traveling to South Africa to see my parents. Now, for today's show, I didn't have to look far for an expert on travel because yours truly is the expert. In case you have only tuned in to Stoma for Life for the first time, I was a flight attendant for a good part of almost 3 decades. So I think I've had my fair share of flights. It's thousands, literally thousands of flights. And I've seen both sides now. The flight attendant's point of view, the one that has to deal with people with hidden disabilities, and obviously the passenger who's the one with the disability. So I prepared soon after my stoma nurse actually advised me to go out and leave the nest, leave the comfort of my home and explore again. And obviously the travel bug hit me many years ago. That's why I made it my profession. So it was only a matter of time before I would hit the skies again. Now I will share my top tips that I would advise anybody to take to heart in things that you should consider when going on a trip. Now, I'm not talking just aeroplanes. It can be trains, planes, or automobiles. It doesn't matter. As an ostomate, once you leave home, you have to consider a couple of things. I get that. So the first thing, obviously, is preparation is key. Your travel destination, wherever you're flying to or driving to, obviously, check that out beforehand. Now, I was in the comfortable position. I just flew home to my parents. But if you fly on a holiday, make sure it's stoma friendly. I wouldn't even say that, but it does have accommodation and bathrooms that are not worrisome. I mean, sometimes you really get bathrooms that are extremely tiny and small. And if you're on a 2-week holiday, I mean, that could be quite challenging. I'd advise you to check out your accommodation beforehand, which I'm sure you will. Another thing that goes hand in hand with your destination is obviously checking out at your final destination if there are any healthcare suppliers wherever you're traveling to. The next thing that you should consider is your travel certificate. Here in the UK, you'd You get your travel certificate with the healthcare provider. You then take it to your GP, and he or she will fill out the necessities and listing all the things that are important for you to take on a flight. Now, a lot of healthcare providers are also part of the World Assist Alliance. They are dedicated to helping stoma or continence customers with emergency supplies when they're abroad. So do check out World Assist Alliance or ask your healthcare provider about it. With a travel certificate and your World Assist Alliance, you are truly geared up wherever your destination is. Do pack comfortable clothes, especially in a plane. People don't realize it does get cold. You do have little ventilation gadgets above you, but there is a central air condition, and usually it's on cool. It's not really on anything other than cool. So do take something along, perhaps comfortable leggings or a shawl, something that you can throw on, and comfy socks. Airlines do supply them, but it's always nice to have your own stuff with you. Something that people might not realize is a lot of people do take their shoes off, which I myself do as well. But make sure you pack comfortable shoes or you have comfortable shoes, because I can't tell you how many people I have said goodbye to after a long haul flight and they walked out barefoot or with their shoes in their hand. They had swollen feet and couldn't put their shoes back on. Those things happen. Now, for that not to happen is obviously you have to walk around a lot, but some people are obviously prone to getting swollen ankles and feet. And if you do know that you suffer from that, do pack loose fitting shoes. Now, talking about packing, all your ostomy supplies, everything that you need for your trip, do consider the climate wherever you're traveling to, because I found when I was in South Africa for the first time coming here from the UK, winter climate to absolutely 35 degrees summer in South Africa, the pouches had a bit of an issue because obviously your skin perspires and sometimes they didn't stick as well. So do consider taking more that you would normally use in a week. Take definitely more with you because you have to consider things like that the pouches don't stick so well, or that because you might be going swimming a lot, you have to change pouches a lot. So do consider that. Now, when you pack all your supplies, pack it in your hand luggage. I speak from experience. Bags do get lost, suitcases get lost, and 90% of the time they do find their way back to you, but perhaps not in time. It can take a couple of days. I remember being stuck in China for 5 days, and my bag only got to me in the hotel in Beijing on the day I left. So obviously, I made do with a whole lot of clothes from my colleagues, and I bought a lot of things. But living in an ostomy, obviously, you want your products, your healthcare products to be close to you, because that is absolutely key. So my advice is pack all your healthcare supplies in your hand luggage. Most airlines, I think, well, I can't think of one that wouldn't do it, but most airlines, when you contact them and say you have medical supplies that you have to take with you, they will give you extra kilos or extra baggage for hand luggage. On my last trip, I got 10 kilos extra for my hand luggage because I stated that I needed my medical supplies. Yes, do reach out to the airlines. They will gladly want you to put it in your hand luggage because, mind you, I've had so many passengers where we had a medical issue where they had, for instance, asthma or heart problems, and their medication was in their big suitcase down in the hull. Now, things like that, all your medication should be kept with you. Now, talking about medication, be mindful and remember to take the medication that you take with you or that you take on a daily basis, take with you in its original packaging. Because I remember my mother-in-law came for a visit from South Africa to see us, and she ran out of I can't remember what medication it was, but it was all in its original packaging. And all we did was go to the chemist and or go to a GP and then a chemist, and they could supply her with something that was similar to what she had been given. So it's important to keep those original packagings with your medications. Now, what I would suggest you pack as well is an eye mask or a sleep mask, whichever way you want to call it, as well as earplugs. Those are always things that I have in my suitcase, in my hand luggage. Obviously, a change of clothes if you need, if you feel more comfortable with taking a change of clothes, absolutely vital and gives you peace of mind. Now, before you embark on your flight, I would consider the food that you might be presented with. For a short haul flight, this is not relevant. I mean, we can all be without food for a couple of hours, 3, 4 hours. But if it's a long haul flight, like I'm taking South Africa as an example, which is a night flight, obviously it's a long flight and you might want to consider the food that they might present you with. Now, depending on the class you're traveling in, you get a choice of 2 or 3 dishes. But remember that there is a limited number of choices and you might not get the choice that you want. So if you're very keen on or not keen on something, I would consider ordering a special meal. Now, special meals, there is a huge variety of special meals. I always order a special meal to make sure that it's something that I enjoy eating, but you have to do it at least 48 hours before your flight. You cannot do it last minute and you cannot do it on the flight. So do consider it perhaps even while you're doing your booking, order a special meal. Now, as we're talking food, there is something that I practiced all the time during my long flying career. Especially on long haul flights, I mean, I traveled all over the world. So, be it to the Far East or to the West Coast, definite time changes, they do upset your digestive system. And very early on in my career, I already found out that I couldn't adjust that well. I stayed in my time zone wherever I flew because, okay, as a flight attendant, you stay maximum, well, a maximum can be up to 4 or 5 days somewhere, but you do have a minimum stay of about 24 hours somewhere. But if it's a longer stay, I would say you can adjust a little bit, but if it's just a short trip, I always stayed in my time zone. So actually, traveling at night and having a steak in the middle of the night, because I see this all the time, is something I would not do in normal life. So when I travel to a destination that requires me to eat at night, I normally do not eat because I would not normally eat during that time in any case. And I found that when I did do that, I had digestive issues all the time. So obviously, you are your best advocate. You know yourself how good your digestion is. And I would advise you to take that to heart because wherever you're traveling to, the food's different. Everything's different. There's lots of new experiences, and those things all affect your digestion. So take that into consideration. Now, you'd say, okay, if I don't have a main meal on the flight when everybody's presented with a meal, what do I eat? I always took a be it a snack with me, which might be a little energy bar. Or I always took miso soup with me. Now, there is no flight attendant in the world that will deny you hot water. So, hot water is always available to you. And if you ask them for a cup with hot water, you just add your miso soup and it's warm in your tummy. It feels like a little meal. I always found that to be an absolute treat. So, one thing that's extremely important as well is hydration. Being hydrated is absolutely key. You know yourself, especially in a plane, the air is extremely dry. So do remember to keep hydrated. That to me is even more important than eating. If you can, have your own bottle with you. A flight attendant will gladly fill it up. Hydration and a snack, absolutely key. We've covered all things preparing for your flight. And we're continuing this conversation just after the commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. We are talking all things travel today. Now, I've touched on everything that I sort of would consider the absolute necessities when preparing for your trip. Now, there's another thing that I think is quite important. A lot of people are hesitant about using this service, which I can actually understand in a way, but it makes life so much easier, and that is assisted travel. Now, depending on if you're traveling by yourself or if you're changing over at an airport, it depends on your condition. If you feel fit enough to actually do a lot of walking, because airports are big. Mind you, I've been to airports that are so huge where I literally walked a kilometer to the next gate. So be mindful. Assisted travel it's really fun. Because you get to sit, first of all, maybe on one of those electric scooter vans. I'm not quite sure what the terminology is for those. Or they fetch you with a wheelchair if you want. But usually they whiz you from one gate to the next on those little electric cars, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So do consider that. It's really a very good option. And like I said, I don't know. A lot of people are hesitant to use it. I think it's an absolute ingenious way to travel in an airport. They take you through the security. They take you through to passports. I mean, it's just the way to travel, isn't it? Do consider that prior to or when you're booking your flight if you would like to do an assisted travel. Now, here in the UK, you get lanyards, the Sunfly lanyards that are basically there to show anybody that you have a hidden disability. Now, I don't travel with those, but obviously if you do, then also the flight attendants would know that you might need assistance. To be very honest, I always appreciated passengers coming in and telling me if they have a hidden disability, because obviously if you can't see it, you can't react or act in a manner that might be appropriate or that might help you. So think of it from that point of view. Even if you want to keep it a secret or if you don't want to tell anybody, if you do need help, then that time to explain why is taken away from when help is actually needed. That should be something that you should consider. Now, also, where do I sit in a plane? I would always say take an aisle seat. An aisle seat to me is, as an ostomate, is actually the ideal seat. Prior to my ostomy, I always enjoyed obviously looking out the window, but it's much better if you know you can get up whenever you need to get up and you don't have to wake anybody, you don't have to inconvenience anybody. There's no real need to sit right next to the toilet because the toilets are not really very soundproof. So you would hear the toilet being used, the toilet being flushed during the night, and it is quite disruptive if you don't have earplugs, like I told you to pack. You don't have to be close to the toilet because wherever you're sitting, there's a toilet usually close by. But an aisle seat does guarantee you to get up whenever you need to get up. So I think we've got everything covered now, and you're ready to embark on your journey. As you get to the airport on the day of your travel, I would obviously take enough time so that you don't have to rush. Now, once your suitcase and everything has been checked in, and another question that I frequently get asked, this was actually one of the topics that I had with my godchild not so long ago, because she's traveling all the way to Australia to spend 6 months there. And she was worried because she's got to change over in Dubai to go to Sydney. Usually the airport you check your luggage in will check it right through to your final destination. So you do not have to worry about picking up bags, and rechecking them in wherever your transit is. But do ask them at check-in just to make sure, but 99% of the time, your bag will go to your final destination. We have checked everything in successfully and we are on our way to security. When I went on my first flight as an ostomate, I was a little hesitant. I really was. And security was also something that obviously I had been exposed to all through my flying career, because I went from a young girl with hardly having to go through any security to very tight security in all those years, because obviously flying 30 years ago was totally different to what it is now. So security can be quite daunting. And as an ostomate, I did find it challenging in the beginning. But I had my travel certificate with me and I did say to them that I have medical supplies in my bag. They didn't even worry about it. All that was for nothing. I went through the scanner. Nothing was actually detected. And I could carry on walking to my gate. So my first encounter with security as an ostomate was actually hugely positive. When I flew back on that trip, going back, the security was a little, let me just say, they were a little unaware of what an ostomy is. They had no idea what that entailed. Even when I explained it, they did not have a clue. But all you say to them is, I would like to be checked in a private section. Usually they're now, with me as a female, there'll be two female security officers that will accompany you, and then you just show them what it's all about and educate them in the process, because that's what I did. But there's one thing that I must remind you of. Here in the UK, I've not had any problems, but in other destinations, I've had problems where the security personnel do not ask you beforehand when they want to pat you down. You actually walk through the scanner, and I've had it that they touch my stomach straight away. Now, I'm sure you can relate. That's something I'm truly, truly not keen on, as somebody that I do not know touching my stomach and rubbing my stomach. I mean, for crying out loud, that's the last thing I want. In, like I said, in the UK, they do ask you beforehand if that's okay. And then I usually say that they should be mindful because I am an ostomate, and then they already know. But this one incident, they did not. And I said to them, I do not want to be touched there. And they were very rude. And they actually was screaming on top of their voices saying, you don't want to be searched. And I said, no, I want to be asked to be searched. You cannot just search me without asking me, because I have a medical condition that does not allow you to touch that section. And okay, it was cleared up and clarified, but still it was a not so nice situation. And I would advise you to be mindful of that. It does happen. Even though I've been through so many security searches, it still caught me off guard. Just be mindful that they do have to ask you, and it's advisable to be asked. I know a lot of people don't even worry about it, but I'm an ostomate that does want to be asked beforehand, because I find I'm extremely protective over that area of my body. I can only describe it as when I was pregnant with my children, I also didn't want anybody to just out of the blue touch my stomach, because a lot of times it really did happen. I don't know if anybody had or has had the same experience, but it's not a freebie just because you're pregnant that anybody can touch your stomach. But I've really had that experience, and I was always very protective over my pregnant belly. And now obviously I'm protective over that part of my stomach. Yes, once you've gone through security, all you have to do is make your way to the gate, and I'd advise you to go perhaps to a toilet beforehand. Toilets in a plane seem to be hugely challenging to anybody. I cannot tell you how many people I had to show how to use the toilet and open a toilet door. It's really basically very simple. It's just like opening the door at home. So there is nothing fancy about it. And the toilets in a plane are equipped with a hook. Guys and girls, we have a hook in every toilet worldwide. I mean, that's like music to my ears. And you have a mirror. But you also have, and a lot of people don't know this, you have a changing table in most toilets. There's a little pictogram on the toilet door that it has a changing table. Do use it because it usually is situated above the toilet. And all you have to do is just fold it down, and you've got more than enough space to put out all your products and do your bag change. So that would be my best tip to use those toilets with the changing tables for the babies to assist you in changing your bag. And obviously, the bag does not go into the toilet. You would obviously not do it anywhere else either. But I have seen so many nappies in a toilet. I don't know. People just seem to switch off their brain when they go and fly. I'm sorry to say, but obviously, you would want to use all the waste basket for anything you have to discard. Now, we've spoken about the toilet situation, and I think I've still got a couple of things to share after this commercial break. So I'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. We're talking all things travel today. Now, I'm sure as an ostomate, you can relate that traveling is something you will not take for granted after your ostomy surgery. I never really took travel for granted because it was my absolute dream job. But now that my life's completely different, I'm filled with total gratitude when I can travel. I just want to let you know that travel is possible. Should you be right at the beginning of your ostomy, travel is possible. It's actually fun. It's actually totally, totally fun. And I wish for you to embark on it as soon as you can, to actually experience it and get that absolute gratifying feeling when you know you've done it. And the world seems totally different to me. The world is totally different after having ostomy surgery. It definitely is. Now, obviously, in today's society, we scroll through social media. We see a lot of other people that are perhaps further in the ostomy and have accomplished so many things. Please do not see them as competition. Instead, see them as a source of inspiration and motivation. There's actually no competition out there. This is not a competition. Your true competition is the person that's staring back at you in the mirror. That's your competition. You yourself. You challenge yourself every single day. Life is full of challenges, be it academics, sports, work, or travel. But remember, competition is not always negative. It can be something absolutely positive. Embrace these opportunities because they can give you so much. They will help you grow. Believe me, they will help you grow because your mindset is everything. And once you've boarded, be it a train or a plane or gone on that trip, you will come back a different person. Believe you me, you will come back a different person. So shift your perspective and focus on becoming the best version of yourself. The rest will follow naturally. Stop comparing yourself to those ahead or behind you. Your journey is unique. It truly is unique. Now, I'm always reminded of something that I think Oprah Winfrey mentioned it. I find it extremely powerful. She always used to imitate Barbara Walters. And she said once she concentrated on becoming the best Oprah she could be, her success came naturally. So her journey teaches us the importance of authenticity and self-improvement. Just be yourself. Do not worry about the competition or those that you see as competition. As I said, there is no real competition except the person staring back at you in the mirror. Motivation comes from within. Stay laser focused on your personal growth and your unique path. You will be able to travel. I know you can. Develop the system and habits that will propel you forward. Set goals that are meaningful to you and work diligently towards them. You don't have to go on a huge long trip. I obviously did because my parents live so far away. You don't have to embark on a 10-hour flight. If you're living here in Europe, everything is very close to reach. You can also just take a train, take the Eurostar from the UK to mainland Europe. It's quite easy. So every single step is a victory in itself. Travel can play a significant role in broadening your horizon and enhancing your personal growth. And I can guarantee you, you will feel completely different once you've come back from a trip. Wherever, near or far, each trip you take is an opportunity to learn about the world and about yourself. Even as an ostomate, you can travel and explore new places. Take it one trip at a time to prove to yourself that you can do it. Like I said, start with a trip, even if it's just the next town. Doesn't have to be far, but soon you will want to engage and travel more. Move at your own pace and enjoy the journey. Surround yourself with people who inspire you. Learn from their success and celebrate their achievements as well. Let their accomplishments motivate you to reach higher and to push further. Remember, I'll be cheering you on every step of the way. Perhaps you want to share your travel experience. I would love to hear from you. You can reach out via my website, which is stomaforlife.com. That's STOMA, digit4LIFE.com, or my social media platforms, which are Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all under the handle Stoma for Life. I'd love to hear from you. Perhaps share it. Perhaps you've got different tips or different experiences. It would be absolutely wonderful if you could share them with us. Now embrace your journey. Embrace travel as an ostomate. Stay motivated and strive to be the best version of yourself. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Keep shining, keep traveling, and keep tuning in. Bye for now.